Turn in your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter number 4. I tried to go several different places and couldn't get a green light, so God wanted me to come back here tonight. I got a green light. Revelation chapter number 4. I want to be a blessing to you tonight. Pray for us. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he writes to us. He said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." We preached a series of messages entitled John Saw, and then we preached a series entitled John Wrote. And here tonight, John's looking. He said, "I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." I'm going to break in on the reading here tonight. Back up with me just a minute to chapter number 1. It's just a blessing. Look at verse 10. I didn't plan on saying this, but in verse 10 he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice," glory to God, "as of a trumpet." Here's what I want to say. If we're in the Spirit, we're just liable to hear something. And we're just liable to look and see something. Amen. I believe God wants us to hear from Him. And I believe God wants us to see something tonight. Amen. And let me just say this too. If there's anybody in the world that maybe had a quote unquote right to have the mully grubs and pull an Elijah and be pulled up under a juniper tree somewhere, could have been John. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. What for? The Word of God and for His testimony. Amen. Put him away. Get rid of him. Get shed of him. Amen. I tell you what, he got out there and they just did him a big favor. Amen. You say, "How do you know that, preacher?" Well, now he's alone with God. And you take a man like John and put him alone with God and business is fixing to pick up. I believe that's one of the things that's missing in our generation. We don't get along with God enough. Amen. I believe we need to do that. Look back at chapter 4, verse 4. "Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment." I'm about to bust. I've studied this out, and it's about to kill me. Amen. "And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." If correctly read, that's Revelation chapter number 4 tonight. I'd like to go down through this and look at a few things together. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, tonight there are many reasons we love you. One reason is you first loved us. Lord, your benefits, Lord, that you daily load us with. Lord, thank you tonight for the peace that we have in our heart. Thank you, God, for the mercy that you've extended to us another day. Lord, in Lamentations said it's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, your compassions fail not. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you wouldn't fail us, our Father, as we stand here tonight, but fill us, our God, with thy Spirit. And Lord, help us tonight, not just to have Spirit-filled, Lord, speech, but Lord, fill our hearing tonight with the Spirit of God that we might hear what you would say to us tonight from the Word of God. Lord, I know and believe with all of my heart that the next great event, and Lord, in the Bible that will take place will be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his own. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be ready. I pray you'd help us to be longing. I pray, our Father, that you'd help us to be busy, to occupy our Father till you come. Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, to bless in the meeting over at the camp meeting tonight. Bless down in North Carolina, our Father. Oh, God, I pray it spread across the mountain. Come on through Sam's Gap, Lord. Get over here in Kingsport, Lord, in this area. Our Father, and stir us like we've never been stirred before. I pray, God, you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Revelation chapter number 4 tonight. After this, I looked. I just want to approach a few things tonight. As I looked at this and studied and just meditated upon what's taken place, I want us to notice some things. The first thing I want us to notice is the timing. It said, after this, I looked. The chapter starts with after this. After what? Well, after John had been exiled, after John had had that vision of the glorified Christ in chapter number 1, after John had seen the seven churches of Asia, which are prophetical and practical and personal, all of those churches have a message in them for us in this generation. But John said, after this, and I think the timing is critical and it's important. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. The church age is going to come to a close. I tell you, the last one is going to be birthed into the family of God. The bride is going to be completed. And the father is going to look over at the son and say, son, go get your bride. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe the timing is critical in the Bible because the church is not going to be mentioned again after chapter 4 and chapter number 5. I believe the 24 elders are represented of the church of the living God, but they're not going to be mentioned again until Revelation chapter number 19 when there's going to be a marriage. Man, I tell you what's the truth. I love a good wedding, don't you? Amen. I love a good marriage feast, don't you? I tell you what, I love a good feast. I don't care what words you put in front of it. Amen. I love to eat. Brother Gary and Brother Houston, some of the men, Brother Jim, some of the men from the church, Logan helped me today. We get out there working out there on that shelter. And I say, boys, it ain't going to matter. When they get out here, they ain't going to be looking at what we're doing. All they'll see is what's on their plate. Amen. It'll be a good time of fellowship, a good time of feasting. Amen. A good time of friendship. It'll be a wonderful time. But, honey, I tell you, God's people are headed for a time in the sky like we've never had on the earth. Amen. We're going to get together at a wedding feast with the Lord Jesus. And I believe the timing is important. It's after he describes the church age. And then it's before he gets into the tribulation hour, the time of Jacob's trouble and the things that are coming upon the earth. I tell you, I was preaching one time out of Revelation chapter 6,
And somebody said to me at the back door, said, where are you going to be, preacher, when all that's going on? I got it wrapped up in one little four-letter word, gone. Hallelujah, I'll be gone. I'll be gone to be with Jesus, amen, when the tribulation hour sets in this world. I noticed the timing. Notice, secondly, I noticed the trumpet. He said, here, watch this now. He said, I'm going to show you things which must be hereafter. You say, preacher, what do you mean, the trumpet? Well, we see the coming up. He said, come up hither. When you look at the trumpet, the Bible talks about the last trump. And the Bible talks about a day when the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be and remain shall be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. I don't know about you. I like that word, changed. He changed me the day he saved me. He's been changing me ever since. But one day, thank God, I'll be changed into the very likeness of the Son of God. And the Bible tells us, beloved, that's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's not going to be some long, drawn-out process. Listen, gravity's going to lose its hold on us, and we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. He said, preacher, why are the dead in Christ going to rise first? Well, because God is no respecter person, and we're all going to get there at the same time. That's exactly why. They've got a little bit further to come. Some of them will come from the bottom of the sea. Some of them will come from a grave. Amen. Some of them will come, what's them things called above the ground? I don't know what you call them things. A mausoleum. Amen. Some of them will come from different places. But I tell you this, you can't hide from God in that day. And the saints of God don't want to hide from God. Amen. They want to be found. And we'll go up. And you see the coming up or the catching up. One thing I'll say to you, the rapture, that word is never mentioned in the Word of God. But the Bible said we'll be caught up together. And it means the same thing, amen, that he's going to take us, snatch us out of this world. You know, I got to thinking about something. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be truthful. I got to thinking about how these politicians explain their way out of anything that they do. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, what's going to happen when all those millions upon millions of people are missing in the world? Amen. What's going to happen when God takes the bride home? What's going to happen? I tell you what's going to happen. Somebody going to come on the scene and explain it away. Amen. Somebody going to say, well, they wasn't really helping the world program anyway. They weren't on the progressive bandwagon. You're welcome. Say amen. Anyway, amen. And they'll say, they were just in the way anyway. And that's the way we feel sometimes. But I tell you what our Lord's fixing to do, get us out of the way. Amen. He's fixing to let them have it. Amen. And I tell you what's the truth. We ought to be excited about that. He's coming. He's the coming up of the saints. I see that. He said, after this I look. A door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that word trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, I'll show thee things. I want you to notice this little phrase, which must be hereafter. Here's what I want to say to you tonight right here before we move on. Not only do I see the catching up or the calling up of the saints of God, but I see the certainty of the scriptures. He said, which must be hereafter. You go over there to the book of Peter. And the Bible talks about in the last days there are going to be scoffers. There's going to be mockers. They're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? I always, every time I think of that or read it, I want to answer. It's in the Bible. That's where the promise of his coming is. Listen, not only is it in the Bible, but if you've been redeemed by the grace of God, it's in your heart. You can't wait, amen, to see the one that loved you and bled and died on Calvary's cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and got up the third day. You can't wait to see him because you love him, amen. I'll tell you tonight, the timing, I think, is interesting. The trumpet, I think, is interesting. The certainty of the scripture, the catching up of the saints. He said, which must be hereafter. Let me show you a little outline of the book of Revelation. Go back to chapter 1. In verse number 19, the Bible said, write the things which thou hast seen. John did a good job. And the things which are. That's what John's talking about in the churches in chapter 2 in chapter number 3. But God said, John, don't stop there. I want you to write the things which shall be hereafter. And that's exactly what John's talking about in addressing in chapter number 4. We notice the timing. We notice the trumpet. The next thing I want to notice in the chapter is the throne. The throne. Look at verse number 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Listen to me. You know who's sitting on the throne in most people's lives? You want to know why there's no respect for authority? You want to know why there's no respect for the police? No respect for the school teacher? No respect in a lot of circles for the man of God, the word of God, the church of the living God? I'll tell you why. It's because God's not on the throne in that heart. Amen. It's either self on the throne or Satan on the throne or both. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. But here you have a throne in heaven. I want to notice this throne. Let me give you several things the Lord spoke to my heart about. What a joy it is to look at this tonight. First of all, the permanence of the throne. You say, preacher, what do you mean permanence? He said, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set. Honey, it's permanent. Are you listening to me tonight? The throne is set. I'm telling you tonight, there's a throne that always has been. It still is, and it always will be. It's called the throne of God. Amen. And the throne is set. I see the permanence of the throne. I thought about this. The thrones in this world are overthrown. There have been many thrones in this world. Well, you look, I mean, just think about David Cameron resigning over there in Great Britain. He's wanting to go one way and the people are wanting to go another way. I'm telling you, there have been many, many thrones overthrown in this world. But thank God there's a throne in heaven that's set and will never be overthrown. Amen. You see, that's what old Slewfoot tried. He said, I'll exalt my throne. Amen. I tell you what, he's tried it, but he can't get it done. Because this throne is set. The permanence of the throne. I want you to notice the position of the throne in heaven. You say, preacher, that's so elementary. I'll tell you what, it's not to the believer. Because, beloved, that's where we're headed. We're headed to the throne. Amen. We're headed, my friend, the choir over at Oak Glen used to sing a song. They still do, I'm sure. Around the throne. There will be a celebration when we meet. I say hallelujah. We ought to just get started celebrating on this side. Amen. Because we are going to gather around the throne of God. We see the position of the throne in heaven. We see the person on the throne. This throne's not empty. The word of God said one sat upon the throne. I tell you what, I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I know his name. His name is Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, tonight that we know there's a person on the throne in heaven. We see the power represented by the throne. Look what the Bible said. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. The completeness of our God. The power that's represented by the throne. When you step in front of a judge, there's authority. That judge has power. That judge has law. He has a law degree. That judge can pass judgment. But I tell you, this world's never seen any power like around the throne and before the throne of Almighty God. Amen. There's power before the throne and represented. And then, let me give you this. I like this. The Bible's teaching us that there's peace before the throne. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. What do you mean, peace? I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe with all of my heart, the believer that doesn't have peace, listen to me tonight, is not spending enough time at the throne. I believe tonight, the person that doesn't have peace has never been to the throne. Because the throne of God will produce peace in your heart and in your life. There's not going to be an uproar. I tell you, I've heard people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God. You might as well forget that. You're not going to tell God anything. I like what Brother Joe said last night. He said, people talking about commanding God to do this and to do that. He said, since when did the clay ever tell the potter anything? He's the potter. We're the clay. Thank God, He's the Lord. He's the shepherd and we're the sheep. Amen. Of His. There's peace before the throne. Immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven. One sat on the throne. I tell you, what's He doing sitting there? The Word of God said, make an intercession for us. Hallelujah. You know what we need to be doing? I've had this verse on my mind all day, and I thought God was going to let me preach it tonight, but He didn't. It's for some other time. Isaiah 64. There was no man that stirreth up himself to take hold of God. I tell you what we need to do. Christ is interceding. You and I need to be interceding on behalf of others. Amen. We sang a song years ago and said, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out, that He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. My grandfather took me in the basement, an old coal mining camp house. They moved the house in Glade Spring, Virginia. And they had a way they can jack a house up and put some timbers under it. The house was moved that him and Granny lived in and moved to Glade Spring. And it had a dirt floor in the basement. I can remember going and telling my grandpa how that God had saved my never dying soul. I got saved. I just want to tell everybody. Amen. You say, did you want to tell somebody that would listen? I didn't care if they want to listen or not. I just wanted to tell them, amen, that the Lord saved me. My grandfather took me down there to that spot about half as big as this pulpit, and it looked like dirt had been waxed. It's where my grandfather prayed like he preached. He was spitting. It was that white stuff in the corner of his mouth. There was tears that fell down from his eyes. Amen. And I tell you, Brother Gary, it was slick like it had been varnished. The place on a dirt floor. He took me down. You had to duck down to get down them steps. He said, son, right there. Here's what he'd say. The word begged. Right there's where I begged. He didn't say big. How many knows? How many's ever heard an old timer say that? Right there's where I begged God to save your never dying soul. Grandpa looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, I begged God for years to call one of my boys to preach, and he never did. But he got my grandson. He said, that's just as good. I say hallelujah for somebody that interceded at the throne of God for me. And you and I ought to do the same thing for others. Revelation chapter 4, I see the timing. I see the trumpet. I see the throne. I need to stop a minute. I've had people say this to me before. Preacher, you act like you're excited. I'm not acting. There's enough of that going on in the world. I am excited about the things of God. Our God is reaching down and saving souls. Our God is reaching down and helping people. I tell you, I got to hear that message on the daughter of Jairus. And I went out behind. I couldn't even go to the altar, Brother Rose, last night. But I went around behind the tabernacle and looked up into that sky. And I said, oh God, you know where she's at. Oh God, you know what she's doing. I believe with all of my heart tonight. Listen, that somebody touched heaven for me, and I'm going to do my best to touch heaven for somebody else. Amen. Notice this tonight. Not only the timing, the trumpet, the throne, but I want you to notice the ones that are welcomed. You see, God's going to say, come up hither, but everybody ain't going to be welcomed that day. You see, when people die, they either die, this goes back to Sunday, in Christ, or they die outside of Christ. There's no middle ground. I'm not trying to be mean, but there's no purgatory. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I tell you tonight, everybody's not welcome. God, you know, when God slipped over there to the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Honey called his name. It might have been a mess if he'd have just said, "Come forth." He had one on his mind. That was Lazarus. But there's coming a day when he'll just have one on his mind, one bride. Everybody that's ever been birthed into that bride, washed in that blood, he'll say, "Come up hither." You say, "Preacher, I thought he was no respecter of persons." He's not. He died for every one of them. But every one of them didn't want him. Some rejected him. What makes the difference in eternity? I tell you what, two words, receive or reject. You receive Christ, heaven will be your home. You reject Christ, you'll lift your eyes just like the rich man did in the region of the damned. He said, "Preacher, why are you preaching like that?" I tell you, because it's truth. There's a welcome right here that I want to show you. You say, "Preacher, who's welcome?" Let me show you right here in the Bible. There's the ones that are welcome. Let me get it to it. The Bible said here, round about the throne were the 24 seats. And there, upon the seats I saw 24 elders clothed. You see, the Bible talks about people being naked. That's how you and I met Jesus, Brother Wade. Naked. Stark naked. Spiritually bankrupt. But honey, these that are welcome are clothed in white raiment. You say, "Preacher, what have they done?" I tell you what they've done. They've made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They're saved. They're redeemed people. Those are the ones that are welcome. Ones that are welcome are redeemed, and then the ones that are welcomed are rewarded. The Bible said they're clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. The Bible teaches us in the book of Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, that you and I ought to serve the Lord when we come to know the Lord. And that there's going to come a day when we will be, listen to me carefully, some people get confused on this. I think the easiest way to clear it up is two words. The saved at the judgment seat of Christ will be rewarded according to their works. In other words, after we got saved, that was determined by what we did with Jesus. We received him. Our reward is determined by what we do for Jesus. We need to serve him after we get saved. We don't serve him in order to get saved. We serve him because we are saved. We don't serve him in order to be his child. We serve him because we are his child and because we love him. The Bible said there'll be a reward. Here are the 24 elders. They represent that. Some, I need to say this, according to Corinthians, are saved so as by fire. All they did was escape hell. They never served the Lord. They never had something, my friend, that would represent a crown that they, like the 24 elders, might lay it at the feet of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think that's sad. In my heart and in my mind, I go back, Bobby, to going to mom and dad's. How could I show up at mom and dad's and everybody else have something for mom and dad? And Bobby will tell you this is the truth. Some of the most precious things that mom and dad ever received in their lifetime, all it cost was a piece of paper and a pencil or a crayon. Some of that junk we bought at the Walmart was back there in a closet somewhere. But you let somebody write them a note. Say, "Mama, I love you." And I tell you, honey, it got front page on a refrigerator. Amen. And it stayed there. And Mama dared anybody to touch it. You could just write them a card. Write them a note. But I tell you, what would it be like to go over there and everybody else had something for Mom and Dad? I didn't have nothing. when Logan, all I would have had to do is get me a 3x5 card and write something on it from my heart. That'd have been just as good as anything in the world. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, Brother Gary, by the grace of God, honey, you ain't going by the throne and have a crown to lay at his feet. Well, I won't be standing right behind you with one of my own to lay at his feet. I tell you, I want to serve him. I don't want to, my friend, rust out, and I don't want to wear out. But I tell you what I do want to do. I want to go out serving the Lord. Amen. Serving the Lord. Brother Rightly Selling, in my estimation, one of the greatest men that ever walked in shoe leather, said, I just want to stay in the field till the sun goes down. Well, glory to God. I tell you, the sun's coming up in the morning. Amen. And there'll be a reward for people like Brother Rightly that stayed in the field till the sun went down. Well, y'all all right? Let's go on. Notice the timing. Notice the trumpet. Notice the throne. We notice the ones that are welcome. But let me give you this. I want you to notice the one that's without end. Look what the Bible said right here. 420 beasts, each of them had six wings about him. They're full of eyes with the end. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. I read that somewhere else in the Bible. Isaiah chapter number 6. Holy, holy, holy. Let me believe God's holy. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest mistakes that an individual ever make in their life is forget that. He's holy. I tell you what, in a lot of places today, even in religious circles, they're trying to bring God down. Honey, I tell you what we better do. We better remember they don't rest. Them wings are flapping. They're crying, holy, holy, holy. They don't rest night and day. They never will. My friend, listen, I want you to know tonight, our God is holy. God wants us to be as holy as we possibly can. I like what Brother Billy said, Brother Mitchell. He said, we're not perfect, but we should never stop striving for it. I tell you what, the average Christian is doing today in America, they're not striving for holiness. They're excusing sin. Let me say that again. That felt like a lead balloon. I'm going to say it again. They're not striving for holiness. They're excusing sin. Everybody's doing it. Why, God understands. Are you reading the same Bible I am? We're going to stand before the throne one day after a while. And we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Notice the one that's without end. You say, preacher, where do you see that? Well, look at it. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You say, preacher, I don't say he's without end. Let's read verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him. By the way, this has something been in my heart. I just want to incorporate this right here. If these beasts, these angelic beings that have never known the depths of sin and have never known the redemption that Christ bought on Calvary, if they're praising him and they're thanking him, how much more should you and I be praising him and thanking him? See, they can't sing the song of the redeemed. You and I that are saved, we can sing that song tonight. Those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne. Notice this last phrase, who liveth forever and ever. Well, I got a verse on my heart, just now come to my mind. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1 again. The Bible said here, in verse number 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. I was in a prison a little while back. Well, it's been, I guess, a little while longer than a little while. I haven't been here 3 years. But I was in a prison a while back. And I saw a tract that the Muslims put out. that said Jesus really didn't die. He just swooned. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus said right here, I am he that liveth and was swooning, was passed out. I was dead. Not anymore, honey. He said here, and behold, he said, I want you to look, I am alive forevermore. I like this word. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. We notice the one that's without end. A couple more things and I'm done. I've enjoyed this chapter. I hope you have. Notice verse number 10. I want you to notice the ones that will worship. The Bible said here in verse number 10, the 24 elders fall down before him. I want to ask you a question tonight. I'm not trying to be mean. But when's the last time you fell down before him? When's the last time? You said, preacher, I know that there are people that are physically not able to kneel. I know that. You know what I'd do if I wasn't able to kneel? I believe I'd just roll over on my belly, even in my bed. If I couldn't get down in the floor, just roll over on my belly, and I'd bury my face in that bed, and I'd cry out to God. God's not really looking at the outside as much as he is the heart. But we certainly ought to fall down somewhere and worship him. There's the ones that'll worship. The Bible said they fell down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. There it is again. And cast their crowns before the throne. I'm not trying to be mean tonight. Someone wrote a song years ago. We'll put on a crown and we'll march around all over God's promised land. It sounds good, but I just don't think it's scriptural. I believe we'll take our crown off. And I believe we'll be using a word like worthy. I believe we'll be using a word like lamb. Worthy is the lamb. I believe we'll be using a word like slain. That was slain. I believe we'll be using a word like redeemed. Worthy is the lamb that was slain, who hath redeemed us. And God's not even going to let us forget this, by his blood. Have you ever noticed you get to singing them songs about the blood? Or somebody gets to preach it about the blood? I'm going to tell you what, the redeemed like that, don't they? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say you're narrow-minded, intend to stay that way too. Just as narrow as this old book. There's no redemption. There's no heaven outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to worship. How we ought to worship him. We notice the ones that will worship. Then I want to give you this tonight in closing. And I thought I'd be done in about 15 minutes. I like it. Look at verse 11. Thou art worthy. I want you lastly to notice the one that's worthy. Brother John, y'all do a great job every time you get up and sing, every time I've been around you. And I tell you why I believe. Because you know the one that's worthy. You ain't worthy. I ain't worthy. This church ain't worthy. But honey, we know the one that's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of my life. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my pocketbook. He's worthy of my prayers. He's worthy of worship. The word of God said here, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. You see, one of the reasons that this world's missing him is they don't believe Genesis chapter 1, Verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Brother Ted, I believe Genesis 1:1. And everything after that, all the way up to Revelation 22. He made me. I said Sunday, He twice made me. Made me a creation in the image of Adam. And made me a new creature in the image of God. He's worthy. He's worthy to receive. Well, if you see the word receive, there has to be a giver. These 420 elders are giving it out, ain't they, Brother Rose? That's what we ought to be doing. If he's worthy to receive, we ought to be giving. Years ago, I preached the message. I'd like to return to that thought one day. Brother Rick, have you ever tried to give somebody something and they really didn't want to take it? I think every believer's probably experienced that somewhere along the way. We got a verse of scripture, Brother Gary, over there. It says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's the truth. That's Bible. But I preached a message, Brother Rose, one time entitled, It is Blessed to Receive. The Bible didn't say it wasn't blessed to receive. It just said it's more blessed. Boy, I just got a thought. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know what that tells me, Sister Cindy? That night when he saved me, it blessed him more than it did me. Boy, that's good. Think about that for just a minute. But Brother Gary, we can't give anything. None of us can unless somebody is willing to receive. That's how every one of us started out in the Christian life, was by receiving. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Amen. Never had that thought before, Brother Tim, but it's a good one. When I got saved, it blessed him more than it did me. I tell you, he had to be blessed. Amen. That's why the Bible said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God the Father. I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God for Revelation chapter 4. One day soon, who knows, Brother Rick, maybe God's making that bride up over in North Carolina in a hurry. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but I've often wondered, Brother Houston, he's sure filling up heaven with babies. They're killing them by the millions. You say, preacher, I don't count until they're born. Have you read Psalm 139? God called Jeremiah in his mother's womb. While our substance was not yet perfect. Oh, he's right there. He knows. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? How many glad when he says come, you're going tonight? Amen. Come up hither. What a day that'll be when by Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand, you say, preacher, he ain't got time for that. Honey, he's got time for me now. You going to tell me he ain't going to have time for me then? He's got time for you. Got time for every one of his children. Glad I'm saved tonight. Aren't you? Heaven bound. A lot of people may not like this statement, but I'm hell proof. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That doesn't make me want to sin. It makes me want to serve. Doesn't make me want to sin. It makes me want to shout. What a Savior we have tonight. I like that song, The Inspirations. You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride. Christ is the groom. There's a supper up in heaven. I believe, Brother Wayne, it's about supper time. Everybody believes that tonight. I believe we are living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. Let's look for Him. Let's live for Him. Let's lean on Him. Amen. Songwriter, one of the gospel songs said, learning to lean. Brother Gary, I'm still learning. Learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever seen. Learning to lean on Jesus. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for these precious folk that have come for prayer meeting in the middle of the summer. A lot of places they could have been, a lot of things they could have been doing. Lord, they came to your house tonight. God, I wouldn't have missed it for nothing. This world has to offer. Thank you, dear Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Continue, Lord, to speak to hearts. Continue, Father, to save souls. Continue, Lord, to strengthen, establish, and settle your children. God will give you glory until the day we hear you say, come up hither. That maybe, God, we can give you glory like you deserve to be given glory. There'll be no more flesh to hinder. No more pain to hinder. No more thoughts that run astray to hinder. But all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that will be.